The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
You know, one of the things that I love about Summerside is diversity, right? That we're not all the exact same. That even here in this room, in our church across the board, is made up of people of different walks of life, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different experiences, different educational levels. You know, I really treasure that and value that. Now, the tension comes at times when I'm preparing to teach the Bible and I'm studying a passage and I'm outlining it, looking at commentaries, kind of digging into maybe the languages if that's necessary. And I realize that the topic that the passage covers has a pretty narrow application. Like say, for example, a sermon on marriage is necessarily going to leave out in some ways directly those who are not yet married or who are not married. Right? A series on being a godly father or a passage on being a godly father in the home isn't necessarily going to apply really well if that's not a reality for you. Now, obviously, truth, God's word has truth for us, and that truth has value in and of itself, and there's always something that God's word can teach you, regardless of the area of emphasis of any particular passage. God's word is truth, and truth is good for us. It helps us grow in our understanding of not only the topic at hand, but other topics as well. But once in a while, you get a passage like we're dealing with today. And I'm excited because I don't care if you are 5 or 105. I don't care if you're a parent or not. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. Today we are dealing with a topic that applies directly to every single one of us. Now maybe I wish it didn't, but it does. Because the topic that we're looking at today is temptation. Now, obviously, we're all tempted in different ways. There's some overlap, sure. We're all tempted in different ways, but man, this is a reality that in the Christian life, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, saying no to temptation, I hate to break it to you, is a lifelong journey. And so today, what I want to do is look at Jesus' words from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and really focus in on the words of lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I want to explore why it's so important that we pray to our Father in heaven to give us the strength to persevere as we face temptation. Because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're at in the journey. It doesn't matter how long you've been following Jesus, how much of the Bible you know. The truth is, you are going to face temptation. Are you prepared? And are you praying for God's strength in that journey? So grab your Bibles, open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now we're doing, in case you're tracking, a series within a series within a series. It's kind of like a Marvel spin-off movie or something, right? It's all kind of connected, but you got to really dig down deep. So we've been walking through the Lord's Prayer in this series on the Lord's Prayer. But that's also taking part in the larger Sermon on the Mount, which is also part of the book of Matthew. So we've been walking through Matthew. And we're just going to keep going and going and going until it's done for us. Terrific and beautiful book. And in this passage, in this section of Matthew, Jesus is giving his most famous sermon. So he's hitting on all of these different topics that are so relevant to the Christian life. Like if you want to know how to be a follower of Jesus and what Jesus expects of you, you open up the Sermon on the Mount, and man, he lays it out. It is hard, it is convicting, it is difficult, it's challenging, yes. But man, there is this beauty of gospel and grace underneath all of it. And in the passage, in the section that we're studying, he says to his followers, I want you to pray. And here's how you do it. It's fascinating. I mean, he starts off the passage with saying, listen, you have a Father in heaven, so you don't need to obsess over getting all the right words. You don't need to sit there and try to manipulate or conjure God. That if somehow if you just get the right words, and maybe that gumball in the sky will give you exactly what you need. No, he says, listen, you have a Father in heaven who knows what you already need. So come to him. Share it with him. Worship him in prayer. And he starts off in verse 9 with these words. This then is how you should pray. So if you are a follower of Christ here today, watching online, this is how you should pray. Now again, we're not talking about simply reciting the Lord's Prayer every day as if somehow that's going to turn you into a prayer warrior overnight. But what we are talking about is using the themes, the emphasis of the Lord's Prayer and making that a reality in your day to day. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says these words, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Now verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And this is God's word for us today. Now, as we unpack this single verse, I want to really zoom in here and give you quickly 3 points of clarification to understand what Jesus is talking about here. The first one is this. What does Jesus mean by temptation? Right? Now, this is an interesting word because in Greek, the word has really two meanings. That in English, it's covered by two different words. So this word for temptation can either mean a test or a trial, like a season or something that you walk through that is hard or that is difficult, a test or a trial, or it can mean specifically a temptation, as we think about it in English, to entice someone to do something that they shouldn't do. Now, it is used, this exact same word, a number of times in the New Testament for a trial or a season of testing. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds in James chapter 1, verse 2. It's the same theme as 1 Peter 1, 6, that God calls us to endure trials. That this trial, this season of testing is designed to reveal to us and to those watching the true character that God is forming in us. But this word can also mean to entice someone to sin. And it is used a number of times in this way in the New Testament. Jesus is tempted by the devil in the wilderness. We are called to avoid temptation, to say no to temptation. So this word really has a broad meaning. But here in English, the translators did a good job of covering the essence of the word. Lead us not into temptation, into those areas and seasons and places where we are being enticed, invited, maybe even manipulated to sin. Now, depending on what Bible translation you have, there's a second point of clarification that's interesting that you need to hold on to understand what Jesus is talking about here. Does Jesus mean evil generally or the evil one, as some translations have it? Right? Look at verse 13. It says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And there's a little footnote. And if I go down, it says evil one or the evil. So which one is it? Is Jesus saying here that we are to pray that God would lead us away from evil in all of its forms, or that specifically we are called to pray in this passage he's teaching that we are called to pray that God would help us avoid the evil one, the temptation that comes from the evil one. Right? Now, obviously, it's both, because the evil one, that is Satan, the devil, and evil in general go hand in hand. But what's going on here? Well, again, in the original text, in the Greek text, it's, I guess I would say, literally translated as deliver us from the evil. It has that the word the there, the article it's called. So the translators rightly understood that here Jesus is talking about not just that we would avoid temptation and evil out there, but specifically temptation that comes from the evil one. But let's talk about the elephant in the room. Because this is a little bit clunky in English. And that leads us to our third point of clarification. Does this verse mean that God sometimes does lead us into temptation? And I've heard a number of people, even as we started this series, I received an email saying, what does that mean? Lead us not into temptation. As if I don't pray that, then God will lead me into temptation. It's a little bit awkward in English. So what's going on here? What is Jesus teaching? Well, here's what's happening. Okay, in language, there is a phenomenon called litotes, and you can Google it and look it up. And it's the use of a negative to communicate a positive. In English, there's not a ton of really well-known examples in modern speech. I did find a number of them in kind of maybe like 18th century English, but I didn't think an example was particularly helpful. But oftentimes in language, people will use a negative to communicate a positive. Okay? So what Jesus is saying here is, Father, lead us. Not into temptation, but away from it, to righteousness. Now, he's praying that we would be delivered from the evil one. Now, it's clear that God does not tempt us to sin. Okay? God does test us to reveal our true character so that we can grow in our depth of dependence on him, so that we can grow our faith more deeply, so that we can be used as a witness or a testimony to the world that's watching as we walk through seasons of trials and testing. But God does not tempt us to sin, right? I mean, think about it. If Jesus died on the cross for your sins, took all the penalty, all the punishment, all the guilt, all the shame that your evil deeds, that my evil deeds incurred, and took that upon himself, and then rose from the dead, gave us the Spirit of God to live in us, to free us from the bondage of sin and the power of sin, do you really think then that his MO is going to be to go around trying to tempt us to go back into sin? No, it doesn't make sense. In fact, in James 1:13, we read this. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So this verse is not saying that if you don't pray, God just might lead you into temptation. No, he's saying, no, listen. Pray that you would be delivered and led by God away from all that temptation and into righteousness. The Bible teaches us to rejoice in our testing, rejoice in our trials, but to resist temptation. And the Lord's Prayer is an invitation to pray for protection from temptation and the tempter himself. Okay? So on the surface, it's a fairly simple prayer once you get those little clarifications out of the way. That he is talking here about enticement to sin, that the evil one, that Satan himself, plays a role in that realm, and that we are called to pray that God would lead us away from all of that and into righteousness, that he would deliver us and continue to do so. But let's zoom in a little bit. Let's zoom out a little bit and go big picture. Right, let's think about this. Where does temptation actually come from? Now, maybe you're here and you're like, I'll tell you where it comes from. My stupid coworker. Because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have any temptation for anger, for rage, for gossip. I'll tell you where temptation comes from. My temptation to be stingy or to manipulate or to cheat people comes from the fact that I just don't have enough. So I deserve this. My temptation to be grouchy, to be snappy with my kids and my spouse, well, that just comes from all the pressure that I'm under. No, but let's be honest. Where does temptation actually come from? Simply put, temptation comes from three sources. It comes from the evil one. It comes from our own sinful flesh. And it comes from the world. Satan, the evil one, is called the tempter. He tempted Adam and Eve. He tempted Israel in the desert. He tempted Job. He tempted Jesus. The examples are endless. He tempts God's people to sin, entices them to sin, and to doubt. 1 Peter 5:8 says that he, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone, looking for someone to devour. Do you live with any kind of awareness that you have an enemy that wants to destroy you? I'm not saying, I've seen people get way out of hand on this, right? And attribute everything to the devil, to the evil one, to his minions, testing and tempting. And you know what? It does happen. Absolutely. Absolutely that happens. But you can get out of hand on that, but at the same point, you have to live with an awareness that you have an enemy, the evil one, who wants to destroy you, who wants to entice you. And secondly, you know, it comes from the flesh. When Satan came to tempt Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and then also in Mark, you can see that he leverages Jesus' physical needs. Part of the reason that we're susceptible to temptation is that we are physical and weak and frail. You will make less God-honoring decisions, typically speaking, when you're exhausted. When you are hungry, when you are emotionally spent, when something in your body, whether it be the chemicals in your brain or your busted up knee, aren't as they should be, you are more susceptible to temptation. I got this brief window just before supper, about 30 minutes when I'm getting real hungry. And man, I've had to pray that God's Spirit would help me to walk in gentleness with my family. Because there's this little window where it's like my hunger manifests in snappiness. Right? We are physical, frail creatures. And our own flesh provides grounds by which we are often tempted. Even if you go deeper beyond just the physical, there's a spiritual component to this. That in and of ourselves, out of fear and insecurity and a lack of identity in Christ, we have this need or this drive oftentimes inside of us to want to be the center of attention, to want to be comfortable, to want to be pleased by other people, to want to use other people. Temptation comes from the evil one, yes, but it also comes from our flesh. James 1:14 puts it this way. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to death. You know, our flesh often provides grounds by which we're tempted. The evil one, the flesh, and the world. Now, we live in a world where all manner of evil is accessible all the time, through technology alone. And the values, philosophy, and teachings of our world are often very contrary to what God teaches us in His Word. And these can often be a source of temptation. The writer John puts it this way: everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, why do I give you all this background about, you know, the evil one wants to tempt you, your own flesh will provide grounds by which you can be tempted. We live in a world that provides ample opportunities. Why am I offering you this? Because you have to live with an awareness that temptation is something that should be expected and something that Jesus expects you to pray against. You should not be surprised when you are tempted. It shouldn't come as some big reveal, something alarming or something startling that you face temptation. It should be expected. Now here's the question then. Maybe as I've been talking about temptation, you're like, yeah, no. There's this one area. Or if you're like me, like, you know, there's this area and this area and this area. You know, you are aware that you are facing temptation. And you're like, okay, I'll start praying about it, Devin. What else can I do? How do I deal with temptation? How do I figure out if it's the evil one, if it's my own flesh, or if it's the world that's tempting me? Do I need a different game plan for each one of those sources of temptation? Thankfully, you don't. Because whether your specific area of temptation, that moment of weakness, whatever it is and wherever it's coming from, the pathway to obedience is the same. So as we zoom out, we have to figure out, how do you resist temptation? You see, the foundation of resisting temptation is the Spirit of God living in you. Okay? So I'm talking here to those who are believers, who have placed their faith and their trust in Jesus' death on the cross on their behalf. Okay? That is the foundation of resisting temptation. But if you're going to resist temptation in your life, you're going to have to pray about it. It's going to have to factor into your prayer life, without a doubt, which shows that you take this seriously, that you want to deal with it, and that you know that the one source of hope that you have is actually God Himself. You can get all the accountability software, accountability partners, all the coaching and input that you can imagine, but if you're not regularly conversing and praying to God for strength, you're not going to make a lot of ground. So you begin with the Spirit of God living in you, okay, to resist temptation. And you have to recognize that resisting temptation involves your mind, your heart, and your will. It involves your mind, your heart, and your will. Think about it with me. Resisting temptation involves your mind. In whatever area you are specifically tempted, ask yourself this. Ask God to reveal this to you. What am I actually looking for in this moment? What is it that I'm actually looking for? If you're tempted to just have, you know, a couple more drinks than you should, if you're tempted to abuse the pills that the doctor has prescribed, if you're tempted to gossip about that coworker, ask yourself, what is it that I'm actually looking for? What's going on? What is the lie that this temptation is promising me? Is it escape? Is it significance? Is it validation? Is it numbness? Is it pleasure? Is it power? Ask yourself, what am I actually looking for? It's so easy just to say, you know, I have this struggle in this area. I have this struggle with drinking, and that's what I need to say no to. There's something deeper going on in the heart. Because every temptation is an offer to believe a lie. That this will provide what you need. And you know as well as I do, it doesn't last. It scratches the itch for a moment, and then you're left even more empty. What am I actually looking for? It involves the mind. You're going to have to think. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to open God's word and learn. The problem is that giving into temptation doesn't lead to life, to scratching that itch. It just leads to death. It involves the mind. But it also involves the heart. Because the battle of temptation is primarily a battle of love. Who or what do you love more? You see, we are heart-driven creatures. We do what we actually want to do the most. We're driven by our affections. Saying no to temptation is not saying no to the greater thing, to turn around and say, okay, I guess I'll try to obey Jesus in this. And okay. No. It's a battle for the affections. It's a battle for the heart. And growing through temptation, obeying God, staying faithful through temptation is a battle of the heart. So what our role is to do, and what God's Spirit delights to do, is to cultivate in us, to grow our love and our affection, our amazement at who God is and what He has accomplished for us in Christ. It's a battle for the heart. So if you find yourself habitually and consistently giving into temptation in a specific area, you need to use your mind and figure out, maybe with a therapist, a good Christian therapist, maybe with a brother or sister in Christ, right? With your Bible open, on your knees praying, saying, God, what am I actually looking for here? Because I'm not going to find it there. Instead, I know that I'm going to find it in you. So help my heart to delight in you and what you've done for me. To stand amazed at the grace that I have received. To see your love and beauty displayed in the gospel. Because my sinful flesh is telling me that I'm going to get answers over here. That I'm going to scratch that itch over here. And I know that that's not true. I know that only you can provide me with what I actually want. What I truly, deeply need. And so you let God work in your heart to lead you to be amazed at the beauty and glory of Jesus Christ. You see, that's why you read your Bible. That's why you pray. Because God, that's why you come to church. That's why we sing these songs about Jesus and all of His glory and beauty. Because there, in those things, God's Spirit uses that to grow and warm our hearts so that our hearts look at the two options before us. I can give into this temptation, but I don't want to, because I know and I have experienced, I have tasted and I have seen what Jesus has for me. And it is better by far. Saying no to temptation is not saying no to a good thing. It's saying no to an empty thing, to drink from the living water itself. So saying no to temptation, resisting it involves your mind, it involves your heart, and yes, it involves your will. God's Spirit works in conjunction alongside of us as we honor and obey Him. So yeah, get some accountability software, right? Give your spouse the credit card. Change the numbers so that you can't just blow it all on online shopping, right? Whatever it is, whatever your specific temptation is, ask God in prayer to show you tangible and tactile steps that you can take to find freedom. Don't trust in these steps in and of themselves. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Get rid of it. Be done with it. Make some simple choices. Use your will to work in conjunction with the Spirit so that you can resist temptation. Make a choice. Get some feedback. But do you see what happens if you jump over to the will first? And that's what our propensity is as Christians. We struggle in an area, we want some rules to follow that will free us. It doesn't work like that. That's why we pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Saying no to temptation involves your mind, your heart, and your will. All of that done in cooperation with the Spirit of God in you. Now let me summarize here and apply it. Let's get practical. I give you two very simple application kind of focuses, maybe for reflection here at the end. And the first one is this. We live in a world where temptation is especially strong. So pray for strength from God and be on guard. Whether your temptation area is your fear, your anger, your anxiety, your materialism, gossip, porn, drugs, sexual sin, pride, rage, same-sex attraction, an addiction to leisure, your stinginess, whatever it is, we live in a world that calls good evil and evil good, as the prophet says in Isaiah 5. But Jesus did not give his life to save you from sin, give you the Spirit to break the power of sin, so that you could keep living in sin. So you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to pray. And Jesus commands you to pray for deliverance from temptation. Now, I'm going to give you this next application point, and then I'm going to talk a lot about Jesus. So you can't storm the stage yet. But I want to offer you this. I believe that the evil one is tempting the church, specifically here in this last season of COVID. Now, I want you to hear me because I am talking to all of us, regardless of your perspective or your opinions. And this is a pastoral warning for you wherever you are. Now, obviously, I am not saying that if you are passionate or if you are concerned or if you feel strongly or that if you disagree with our approach or the government's approach that you are sowing discord. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this, that for some reason with this last wave, I have noticed people's angst, frustration, and fear growing. The anger, the rhetoric growing. And all I want to offer you is this. If this is the last season of this whole pandemic, don't you think that the evil one is going to do as much damage as he possibly can in these last days? I am nowhere near as clever as the devil. But that seems like a pretty easy, smart move to me. So my encouragement to you is this. Don't gossip. Don't mock. Don't mock on social media. Right? Don't do that. Honor Christ with all of your posts. Don't let any corrupt or foolish communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of building others up and edifying. Don't call people sheep or call them names. The evil one wants discord. He wants to cause strife. And he wants you to justify your behavior that you know is not Christ-like. Don't do it. You're never going to regret being gentle, gracious, and waiting to jump to conclusions. This isn't forever. Don't burn bridges and dishonor God when we could be out of it soon. But don't be discouraged. Whatever your temptation is, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged with wrestling with temptation. Sin is evil. It leads to death. It hardens your heart. It hurts God's heart. It hurts those around you. It is evil. It is wicked. And it is far more costly than you could ever imagine. But gracious, merciful, and compassionate Jesus will welcome you back. You have never gone so far down the path of giving into temptation that God will not help you say no to it in the future. Don't give up. Maybe you've not been fighting temptation. Maybe you've rolled over and you've accepted it. You've cultivated it. You've fostered it. Don't give up. Jesus hasn't given up on you. So when you're tempted, call out to him. Pray to your Father in heaven. And know in your heart that you don't have to sin anymore. If you're a Christian, do you understand that? You don't have to do this. It isn't inevitable. It isn't some mystical power over you. No, sin only has as much power in your life as you give it. You have the Spirit of God living in you. You're a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. The new has come. You can say no to temptation through the power of the Spirit. Jesus died to take the penalty of every sin that you have ever committed. So don't run from him. Pray to him. Let your mind, your heart, and your will be captivated by Jesus, the only one of us who perfectly and completely avoided and said no to temptation in every instance. So when you fall and when you fail, you let God help you back up. You keep on praying, you keep on fighting, and you hold close to Jesus. I conclude with this passage from Hebrews chapter 4. Hear the good news of a Lord who understands temptation and overcame it for you. We do not have, the writer says, a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Pray for help from God in resisting temptation. Let your mind, your heart, and your will be captivated by Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, we stand amazed that you would send your Son, that he would come willingly, to die on the cross in our place. And Father, I confess before you the amount of times in my own life that I have failed to pray against the temptations that were evident, for the amount of times in my life that I have said yes to temptation, that I have believed the lies of the evil one, that this little temporary temptation would provide my soul with what only you can provide. And God, there are people here, there are people watching right now who are so deeply entrenched in the clutches of sin that they can't even fathom a way to say no to temptation. That they have given up that battle, feeling like it's inevitable that they continue to sin. Jesus, will you speak to their hearts today to show them what you have done and accomplished for them in the cross? An awareness of their new life in you. God, convict their minds of the truth of your word. Warm their hearts by the beauty of the gospel. Empower and strengthen their will to work alongside of your Spirit. And Father, finally, we thank you that none of us will ever fully and completely resist temptation. We're this side of eternity. We just aren't able to do it. But rather than despondency and despair, that truth points our hearts to the perfection and glory of Jesus. I thank you that he was faithful and we're not. I thank you that he resisted temptation and that his perfect record of obedience can be gifted to us, placed in our account, so that we can stand before you holy and pure. Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Do that work in me, in each of us here today, and in our church collectively, I pray. Amen.